Happy Wednesday, and welcome to the podcast where passion and purpose collide. We are on a mission to interview women and the occasional token man about how their passion and purpose have collided to create healthy relationships and profitable businesses. I'm Elizabeth Denham, publisher of the Franchise Woman magazine, and I'm here with Rebecca Monet, who is president and chief scientist of the Oracle Profiles and now co-publisher of the Franchise Woman. Rebecca, we start each week off with our roses and thorns. Why don't you let us know how you're doing and what your highs and lows of the week were?
So I had an interesting experience this week, which I don't have often. And that was kind of the not feeling as passionate as I usually do. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love what I do. But I had sort of a dip last week where I'm like, that's it. I'm out of here. I can't do this anymore. I'm tired of the minutia. I'm tired of this, et cetera, et cetera. And then, you know, it goes back to everything we're talking about purpose and passion and all of that stuff. And I kind of lost sight of what the bigger picture was. I lost sight of what the bigger purpose and was, and which was, of course, causing some issues with my passion. So, and then in addition to that, I stepped on the scales.
I don't know where this is going, but it's already funny.
Stepped on the scales, and my COVID 4 pounds I have put on since this quarantine. So between feeling self-pity about the weight and the passion, honestly, I don't know which caused worse. It's like, that's it. I'm done. I'm quitting. I'm going off to some island somewhere and I'm disappearing. But the good part about it, the kind of the rose part of it, was I ended up on a conversation with one of my franchisors, Dennis Curdy of Sharky's Cuts for Kids. And he brought perspective back. He said, Rebecca, if you're worn out, if you're exhausted, it's because you have not attached whatever it is you were doing to a bigger purpose, to a passion. So start to see the things that you're doing day to day and how they correlate to this is you fulfilling your purpose. This is you fulfilling your passion. And he says, watch your energy start to come back. And it was one of those, shouldn't I be telling him that? Aren't I the one?
Right. We all need to hear it sometimes, right?
We do. And it just kind of snapped me back. And so now I'm looking at everything. Is this in alignment with my purpose? Is this in alignment with the passion that I have? And sure enough, as you had predicted, the energy started to come back. Now, I haven't lost the 4 pounds since.
That'll come.
The more fuel of passion, the more that weight comes off. Is that how it works?
Yes, I think that's got to be it.
I'm with you, girl. I'm with you.
But you know, it's funny. You say to yourself, because I say these things to myself a lot, shouldn't I be the one telling you? Isn't this my role to do that? And I have that feeling a lot. But we all need the reminder. You know, even when you know better, you sometimes just need that outside person to say, okay, here's where you veered. Now let's get back on track. Because you can't always be completely self-aware, even when you know better.
And that comes back to everything you and I are committed to, which is this idea of community and transparency. Because I had such a great relationship with my franchisor, I could share this. And he knew I was just being transparent and honest. And it allowed him to step into that gap and support me and provide some advice. So community and transparency, so important.
It is. And I think that him being on in that role for this particular time, it was probably gratifying for him, because you don't want to feel like the relationship is unbalanced in terms of who needs more or who's getting more advice. And sometimes that is a defined role, but when you have a relationship beyond work, you do get to have that give and take for each other, which is interesting because it kind of leads right into my, I think our roses might be the same this time. But my thorn was basically my feeling today. It was this morning and last night. And actually I've talked about it before. I had a pastor in my church who I had felt kind of let my family down and didn't stand up when we needed it, when my son came out, and we felt rejected and shunned by our church and the members in it. And it was very difficult because we were 6 years there and we had ingratiated ourselves and were, you know, leaders of the youth group and all these things. And, I just got hung up in my feelings and my expectations. And so I was just in a funk this morning. I just felt like I'm not okay. I'm not over it. We've been gone for 2 years. We have a very lovely church where everybody is accepted, included, and that's over. But sometimes you get hung up in those feelings. And so my rose is that my son and his boyfriend are in town for the week. My daughter I was texting with, I talked to you about it. My husband he's always very good at setting me straight and setting my expectations and saying I can be hard on people when I feel like they've hurt me or others. I do have high expectations of people, but I don't have any that I don't have for myself. So I think that's how I justify it.
Yes.
And sometimes that's not right either, but I think having the community, like you said, I have friends and I have family members, and you can talk through those things without judgment and get the support that you need in order to, you know, make better forms of communication with people or not to communicate with them, whatever the better place is. So, you know, sometimes feelings are just
thinking. I know. Feelings can hijack us, right? And they're fleeting, and oftentimes they're not correct. But it's very easy to get kind of caught up in those feelings and assume because we are feeling this, it's right. It's correct.
Right.
And therefore it's our job to correct others because we're feeling this way. So I love that you step back and you talked with your husband and you talked directly with your pastor and you got me involved and other people involved and where you could analyze what was this feeling really about, right?
And well, and I think that's important too, because like you said, when you were talking, perspective is everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we tend to lose it, and you surround yourself with the people who help you regain it,
yes.
I think, and who know you and know, even when you screw up or say something maybe you shouldn't have, know that your intention was good, you know. And I think this woman's intentions are good, but I think sometimes even with good intentions, we hurt people that we care about. So navigating those things, and do you want to bring it up and talk to somebody about it? Should I have reached out to her? I don't know, but I think it was a good thing, and I think something good can come of it. The ball's in her court, and she may or may not reach out, but I'm going to be okay with whatever she chooses to do and wherever she is. But it's just so nice to have someone that I trust like you and someone that knows me, you know, and you and I are, I think, getting to know each other pretty well through all of our work together, and my husband clearly knows me and my kids and my friends. Yeah, it's just, it feels good to have that kind of support. And I think by creating that with our platform, hopefully more and more women can feel that kind of support and empowerment.
That kind of empowerment, that kind of love, that we see you as you are. We love you as you are. And we also see your blind spots, and maybe we'll point them out a little bit.
Right. That's so important.
I agree.
Because we need to be set straight sometimes. My husband's very, and Fred actually just set me straight.
He did, didn't he?
On perspective a few minutes ago when I was lamenting the reality of our political, you know, atmosphere. And he's like, well, people came to the home in body bags at Vietnam, get some perspective. I was like, that's an excellent point. Things could be worse or different. So you always have to appreciate where you are and what you have to learn, I guess.
I agree.
On that, I think we could both declare gratefulness for community And we will head to our first commercial break.
Oracle, providers of spot-on profiles, the gold standard of assessment tools that assure you're selecting the right franchisees every time. Unlike DISC or others that simply gauge personality or communication styles, Zoracle's spot-on assessments are all franchise-specific and based upon seven sciences that nail the results each and every time. Your prospects simply answer a few questions online, and like magic, Zoracle's algorithms scientifically slice, dice, and analyze their thresholds for risk, their business acumen, and even their propensity for single or multi-unit ownership. Zoracle's spot-on analysis is like having a crystal ball. But there's no hoodoo here. It's all based upon science that flawlessly determines franchisee, franchisor compatibility, and accurately predicts performance. Why don't you schedule a demo today and take a complimentary look and see for yourself? It's the closest thing to a sure thing. Zoracle, spot-on assessments based on science, but delivering results that seem simply magical. Check them out, www.zoracleprofiles.com.
Okay. I'm excited about our guest today, Elizabeth.
Me too.
She's kind of my girl crush, just to be to be honest.
Are you gonna fangirl this interview?
So I want everybody to meet Paula Pizarro. She is a VP of Development at Pride Staff. She's spent her 40-year career helping others achieve success in their chosen field and through business ownership in the staffing industry. She started right out of college in the franchise staffing office, helping companies find talent and helping candidates find their dream jobs, and then later also managed multiple franchise units. So Paula climbed the corporate ladder in three major staffing organizations, and then the last 12 plus years, she's acted as the vice president of franchise development with Pride Staff, a national staffing franchise with a stellar reputation, evidenced by multiple Diamond Awards to the Net Promoter Score. So Paula, some of you might know, is an avid traveler. She's a bookie, as in she loves and devours books. And she's also...
not the gambler type?
No, not that type.
Okay, just checking. Go ahead.
And she's an Auburn College football fan. So Paula's purpose is to help others achieve their dreams and ambitions by owning a business in a valued, essential industry. And she's had a lot of mentors and coaches along the way. So welcome, Paula. We're really grateful to have you here.
Oh, I'm very blessed to be a part of this. Thank you so much for the invitation.
So, you know, this show is focused on women and purpose and passion and profit and relationships. And when you and I and Elizabeth were talking the other day, one of the things you mentioned 40 years ago when you were out in the real world and got into staffing, oftentimes you were one of very few women. Can you share a little bit about that and the experience around that and what ended up, you know, with these men and how they may have assisted you or deterred you? Tell us a little bit more about that.
Oh, absolutely. So when I first got into staffing, in the staffing offices, it was what's really funny is that years and years ago before I got in, literally women placed women and men placed men. You know, talking to people that were before me, you know, they said that it was kind of divided that way. When I started in the staffing franchise, there were a lot of women in there. But as I moved up into the corporate ladder, it was very male dominated. And in a good way, you know, they were great leaders. But women in the 80s, when I was coming into the corporate, really started getting into roles that they had never been in before. So in all three of the major companies that I worked for, In the franchising development department, I was the first woman to be in the department. And even when I was a support rep, I was the first woman that went out and traveled. And so it was really kind of a male, as I was saying, dominated world. And, you know, they kind of joked around with me a little bit, you know, that they weren't going to carry my bags or anything. I'm like, no problem. I was raised with three brothers, no sisters. I can hang with the boys.
That's right. I got muscles too.
Yeah, me too. And so, but what I learned is that they didn't mean anything negative about it. That there were so many that were happy to share with me, you know, their thoughts and advice and help and, you know, mentored me to help me move into that world. And I'm so grateful for it because I absolutely would not be here today if it wasn't for them. I have a long list. I won't bore you with my long list. All three of the companies, they had leaders there who were so helpful. And it's still true today for me. You know, that we have wonderful leadership at PriceStaff. Although I will tell you that the majority of women in management at PriceStaff are, I mean, the majority of in management and executives are women. Isn't that great?
Wow.
So, but we have our fair share of men too. And so it's a good thing. And so it's what I think is wonderful is that in today's world, it's no longer different. It's no longer special to be the first woman in the department.
Yeah,
the world has changed a lot. And I think the franchise world has created a lot of this because a lot of the women in franchising have actually come up through the organizations that they worked in and did the jobs before they went into the corporate. And I think that's an important part of this. Mm-hmm. But I think the mentoring is a very special part of business and that we all need to be not just open to being mentored because the day we think we're right is the day we start to rot. And so,
yep.
But I also think we need to be open to helping others and opening doors for them.
I love how you put that. I've had similar experience in that being kind of first into a particular space and being the only female at a board table, but similar, where men were my champions. They would step in and teach me and edify me and encourage me and open doors. So I had similar kind of experience and still do. With some wonderful mentors. So this whole idea of mentoring and championing, being a champion for one another, kind of the one up and one down, hand up to be helped and hand down to help another is so important. And franchising exemplifies that, I think.
You know, and I think that if you're in an organization that has a culture of that we're all in it together and that we all win, as opposed to trying to climb over each other, to get where we want to go, that if we get there together, then it's a win-win. And I know that's such a cliche to say, but it's true. Clichés actually come from truth.
Right.
Well, they totally do. And I think that, you know, at every level, as you are working your way up through any kind of, whether it's a franchise roles or corporate, I'm sorry, it is so scary right now. There's lightning everywhere.
It's lightning.
So if I get lost, if the power goes out, I'll come back on as soon as I can get it back on. But I think that at every level of life, professionally and personally, you can find a mentor. And I think that as you grow, like I think we talked about this a little bit too, finding your sweet spot of where you excel in mentoring. I'm at a phase where my older children are college students, and I really enjoy mentoring that age. When I taught dance, I couldn't stand middle school, but I liked high school because I was better at it. So I, in terms of how you look at that role as a mentor and as someone who continues to be mentored, what do you think the relationships need to look like? Like, who do you seek out or who, and sometimes it naturally happens without seeking it out, but what do you think is a good mix in terms of trying to find the right mentor?
I think first of all, it's someone who genuinely cares about what happens to you.
Yeah.
You know, and that they delight in your success. and they're not threatened by you.
That's perfect. Go ahead.
Super important.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're from the industry, and sometimes it's just advice in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll give you a crazy example. Early in my career, there was a gentleman in my organization, and not the company I'm with now, but that for some reason we had this competitive relationship, and I just, no matter what, I just couldn't connect with him. And he was brilliant at what he did. So the owner of the company called me to his office, and he said, "Paula, I want you to invite him to lunch." And I said, "He won't even go with me." He said, "No, Paula, he will." He said, "You need to go break bread with him." Yeah. He said, "When you sit down with someone in an environment like that, and you get to know them as a person, they will open up to you. And they will see that you're genuine, and they will respond to you genuinely." He said, "I guarantee that it will work." And so I did. I was hesitant to make the call. He went. It was awkward for the first 5 minutes. We hit it off. He ended up recruiting me to work in his department. And I'm still friends with him and so grateful. And I'm grateful to the person that gave me the advice, because the person who felt like he was my adversary really wasn't. He just needed to get to know who I was. And so, you know, I think that that's not something where I learned something about the industry in particular, but how to deal with people.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, and that's what it all comes down to, really. And I think that's why Rebecca and I like to talk so much to people about who they are outside of work and inside. But those things drive you to build relationships that benefit you in your career. And without those skills, I don't think people often value that enough, that you really have to build those connections. And sometimes you do have a barrier. You know, I've worked with, you know, women sometimes get that reputation for being cutthroat and competitive. And that may or not be true. It may not be true when you break down that little wall and you find out that maybe someone's shy or intimidated. I was shy growing up, and people always thought I was aloof or snobby. And I wasn't. So sometimes I just was afraid to talk back then. I know.
Hard to believe. I'm sorry. I'm not lying, Elizabeth.
When I was little, I was pretty shy, but people misinterpreted that. So what you did with him was you cleared up a misconception between the two of you, and then you were able to move past it. And I think that's a huge thing when you're willing to reach out and try to correct that before it becomes too adversarial or uncomfortable.
Well, and the beautiful part of it was the person that gave me the advice was the owner of the company. Mm-hmm. And I was this junior executive, and that he took me under his wing and took the time to give me that life advice.
Yeah.
That I have lived with forevermore.
Right.
Right. And so you never know what little pearl of wisdom someone drops on you that might change your life and change others.
Yeah. You may have to write a book on this, Paula. You're going to call it Breaking Bread to Get Ahead.
Yeah, bread.
Breaking Bread to Get Ahead.
I love that. Okay, so I think my book should be The Women in Me.
Okay.
Ooh, I like that too.
Elaborate. What's this book going to be about?
It's going to be about the women ahead of me in my family and my friends and my colleagues that inspire me, and that, you know, that I watched, I tried to emulate, I learned some things not to do, but the women in me.
I love it. Yeah, the DNA that was passed on, the examples that you got to observe. Okay, so we're going to keep you to it. We're going to check in with you and see if you write these two books, The Woman in You.
I'll start with a chapter.
Breaking Bread to Get Ahead. So, you know, because it is about relationship. It really is about that. And you took the time to sit down and break bread with someone and allow yourself to be vulnerable. And you went from thinking you were competitors to becoming collaborators. And I also have to give kudos to your boss, right? Who had the sensory acuity to see the talent in you and could see that there was a block for where you needed to go. And so he, instead of going to that gentleman and saying, you know, quit being mean to her or whatever he does,
right?
He put the power in your hands and gave and said, here's what I recommend, but it was still your choice. And it was a beautiful recommendation that brought two people together to start to collaborate and work together versus work against each other.
Yes. I wouldn't be in franchise development if it wasn't for the gentleman that I broke bread with.
Right.
I'd be in staffing, but not in this part of it. And this part of it, I love.
Yes, you do.
I love all of it, actually. But this part, we really help people change their lives in a big, big way.
Yeah. Which brings up another topic, Paula, because you really are crazy passionate about helping people not just find the right jobs because you're in a staffing business, but also to find the right business and select, you know, staffing if that's what's right and best for them. So how do you determine in yourself and in others what success is? Because you have a passion for having others be successful. But is success defined differently for one person than another? And how do you define it for yourself?
Well, I definitely think it's defined differently for individuals. Because there are some people that measure their success by money, by fame, by helping others. I think it's you know, there's a lot. And a lot of it, quite frankly, nobody's really one-dimensional. You know, it's interwoven, right? But for me, it's more about knowing that I helped a person to really understand what is out there. Because I think that, you know, we were talking earlier, Elizabeth, about your children going to college. And really, when you're in high school, you have no earthly idea what the options in life are. You have no idea of all the jobs that are out there, all the potential. You just don't know, right? So I think it's, for me, it's helping people see what their options are and then learning enough about it so they can make a really good decision for their life and their family, their future, and even the future generations of their family are affected by it. And that's especially true in business ownership, right? Because you could build up a business that could pass on or that you could sell or whatever it is, or set an example for your children, you know, with work ethic and everything. So to me, I think the definition of success is that someone is not only successful at it, but that they have self-fulfillment and that they affect the lives of others in a positive way. To me, that's what it's about. So I use programs, like we're talking about Zoracle. We're talking about programs where you measure a person's ability and talents and maybe how they match. So I'm a big believer in that. I devour the information. I want to make sure, right? And then when I'm speaking with them, one of the things I do is I let them talk first and I want to hear about them from themselves. You know, a resume or an application is just words on a page, right? But when they talk, I can see their heart. I can get a feel for what their real culture is. You know, and how do they define success, right? So if, if the definition is me, then they might be successful in some industries, but they're not going to be successful in staffing where affecting people's lives. So I want to get to know them and see what they're really made of. And I think that over time and also with the tools that are available to us, that we can do a better job of that.
Okay, I have a secret to tell you, and Elizabeth knows this is true. Elizabeth and I actually talked before you came on, and I said, we're going to have one problem with Paula on this show. I said, she is so curious about other people. She's going to start asking us questions. And so it's going to be hard to have her talk about herself. And so you just described that you really want to get to the heart of an individual, whether it's, in staffing, helping them find the right position for them, or at Pride Staff, is this the right franchisee? So you do get to the heart of that by asking questions and spending time with them, because you want to know, is that prospective franchisee a franchisee that's going to do well within Pride Staff? Are they going to be fulfilled? Are they going to be successful? Are they going to be happy? Are they going to be able to self-express? So that's my secret.
That's so funny. Well, and I think we all have a little bit of that in common as a writer and a publisher and an interviewer. Mm-hmm. I have that same desire. I want to know about people and what got them where they are, what happened to them that made these decisions possible or whatever. But I do think, you know, in franchising, that's an important question when you're vetting potential franchisees. But I also think in terms of leadership positions for franchise owners or in the franchise system as a whole, being able to find out what drives someone helps you lead them better, because everybody is individual. It's like, you know, my five kids are all incredibly different humans and are motivated by different things and are rewarded by different things. And so finding the way that works, nobody's cookie cutter. So I think that skill has probably come in handy for you throughout your career, wouldn't you say? That you've been able to manage people in a way that they want to be managed and find what brings them up to that next level?
Yes, I believe so. And I'll tell you something I learned from George Rogers. He's the founder and chairman of Pride Staff. Mm-hmm. And George told me when I first joined the company, he said, I want you to look around at you at the other executives in the organization, and you're going to find that they're all different. They all have different strengths and different weaknesses. And he said, and that's on purpose. He said, if we pick everyone who's the same, he said, we all have the same strengths, but we also have all the same weaknesses.
Right.
And he said that by, you know, having a mix of that we all balance each other out and make each other stronger. And I think about that too, when I'm talking to candidates, mm-hmm. and especially if it's a couple, a husband and wife, do they have strengths that balance?
Right.
You know, and will this business owner have the ability to look for people on his or her team the same way? Mm-hmm. And so that's one of those little jewels, right? Little pearl I picked up from George that I've used in franchising, but I think it applies to a lot of things.
It certainly does. To surround ourselves with people that think differently than we are, have different strengths than we have, motivated differently. I do believe that we are not meant to be islands and independent, that we are really meant to be in relationship and interdependent on one another. Recognizing that and not selecting people that are exactly like ourselves, but instead complement ourselves and we can complement them is vital. And in staffing in particular, this has got to be a top of mind for you all the time. As a prospective franchisee and then placing people in various positions, will they ultimately get the satisfaction and the success, like we talked about earlier, by being in that role and with that particular company or that particular position?
You know, to that point, I'm sorry, my computer just kind of jumped up funny. So it has a mind of its own. To that point, you know, we focus a lot at Pride Staff on what we call the fit in factor, because people are hired for their skills and experience, but they either do well or they don't do well because they don't fit in culturally somehow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm talking about work ethic,
You
know, things, or, you know, and not just ethic, but the way we work, right? Like some people want the individual to be very outgoing and communicate well with others. Some want you to be heads down, focused, right? Plugs in your ears. So we find that by really digging in and finding out what's important on both sides, that we're able to make much better matches with people, and that they're happier and they succeed. And I think that's true in franchising too. I think it's true. Mm-hmm. You know, in hiring people, I think it's even true in picking your friends.
now that's good advice.
Or your mate, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. Pick your friends based on.
But I mean, it really, you know, some of the most wise things in life are simple. If you just think of them, or somebody tells you, or somebody's gracious enough to share with you, and that goes back to the mentoring, doesn't it?
That goes back to the mentoring. It's back to having champions in our life, and back to the whole purpose of relationship and the importance of fostering those relationships. Because to your point about the friends, I'm like, oh my gosh, what if we did deliberately and consciously choose friends that were completely different than us so they could point out our blind spots and we could grow and we could develop and we could go to them about advice in the areas that we are weak. I mean, that would be brilliant if I could say, okay, I'm weak in this area. Who amongst my friends is strong in that area?
Yeah.
That's brilliant. I like that.
Yes. And sometimes what I find is that it's not always somebody in business who's in a position above us.
Yes. Yes.
Sometimes it's, you know, an equal position. Sometimes it's a position that we are, you know, in the corporate ladder higher than, but that they are wiser about certain things and that we all can learn from each other. I even think it's true about our competition. And I really kind of hate that word competition, because I think that other people that are in our same industry are typically very wise people. They're very good. They have a lot to offer. There's a lot of room for all of us. And if we help each other and we're friendly with each other, we all win.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's true in staffing. I find that to be true. I'm friends with and have still, you know, maybe if not close friends, business associates from my previous companies and with other organizations and staffing. And, you know, we're in this together. We all want to help people get good jobs and we want to help companies find great people. So I think that it's easy to look at others in our business as being, you know, the other guy, right? The competition. But we're really all in it and to help people. So we can learn from our competition.
Indeed.
I think so. And I think if you're not, you're missing out. You know, some of the most successful people I know are people who pay attention to what the other people are doing, not in the effort to squash it, but to say, is there something I'm missing? Is there an idea out there I haven't thought of? Is there, you know, as they like to say, life is not a pie. There's enough for everybody to go around and to be able to have someone feel that they can call you up and say, hey, have you encountered this problem before? Mm-hmm. How did you handle it? You know, I think it's a critical attitude to have in business. I like to do it. I when my babies were little, I pulled all my friends and said, how did you handle this? I don't know what to do. You know,
yeah.
I love a good pull.
In
business. Yeah. And I've done that with starting a magazine. You know, I've done a lot of writing and a lot of with publishing, but I haven't done this specific thing in this specific industry. So I'm willing to talk to anybody who will talk to me. You know, I think it's
wonderful.
It's just a great thing to be able to rely on each other that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is.
Well, I hate to stop this conversation because I'm so enjoying it and my brain is going 90 miles an hour. I'm going, I wish I had a pen. I could write this down. But Paula, can you tell us how folks would get hold of you if they wanted to reach out to you personally, learn more about Pride Staff? How would they reach you?
Yes, ma'am. There's a couple ways. Number one, if they email me directly, that would be just fine. My email is pizarro, P-I-Z-A-R-R-O, at pridestaff.com. Or you could email our department, franchise development at pridestaff.com, because I get so many emails that I wouldn't want it to get lost in there. And I have a wonderful administrator who would make sure that I didn't miss it. Or you could call me at 559-326-4438. I'm also on LinkedIn and I have Facebook too. But any way you want to reach out, I'm happy to talk with you and learn about you and see how I can help you. And I'm sure you can help me too. So please feel free to reach out.
Excellent. So, Elizabeth, we need to go to another sponsor, don't we?
We do need to go to another sponsor, but I just wanted to say thank you so much for your time. I thoroughly enjoyed getting to know you better and finding out what drives you and what your story is. So I really appreciate that you were willing to take the time to come on today.
May I say one final thought before we go?
Absolutely.
I think in franchising, I think one of the most important relationships to have is with your franchisees.
Mm-hmm.
We call them our strategic partners because we're in this together.
Yeah.
And our main focus in life is not how many units we add. It's helping our existing strategic partners to accomplish their goals and dreams in life and to build the brand together. And I think in franchise development, that is critical that we build those relationships and maintain them. So thank you for letting me join you. Thank you for letting me share my thoughts, and thank you for letting me learn from you. I look forward to learning more from you in the future.
We appreciate you, Paula.
Absolutely.
Thank you
so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The Franchise Woman is a bi-monthly digital magazine that empowers women as they navigate the franchising industry by providing relevant news, tools, advice, and inspiration. We are a resource for women who are seeking to own their own businesses, improve their existing businesses, find creative solutions, and take advantage of franchise opportunities. We feature women in the business who best exemplify our ideals and have something to teach our readers. In addition to our exclusive articles relating to the female entrepreneur, we also feature brands that are geared for women. Women have become the fastest growing sector in business ownership and have become a powerful, influenceable force fueling the economy. The Franchise Woman will give you the news that is relevant to you to help you navigate the path of successful franchise ownership. By women, for women, and about women, we are the Franchise Woman. Join us today at www.thefranchisewoman.com.
Welcome to Women in the Know, where we discuss everything from politics and policy to relationships and marketing, from franchise growth to difficulties between franchisees and franchisors. Today's topic is about the common traits we see in successful women. And one of the common traits that we see is grit. This issue of the Franchise Woman magazine was released today, so you can take a look at it at thefranchisewoman.com. And we interviewed a lot of successful franchisors who all seem to demonstrate grit in different ways. So we wanted to talk about how women demonstrate it, how it varies, but the fact that that seems to be a very common thread in successful business owners.
Agreed. You know, it's interesting, this term grit has been thrown around the last few years a lot, but it's kind of an elusive term, right? And it actually encompasses several different, I call them markers, right, that makes up grit. And to your point, in the various articles on the Franchise Woman, and Paula in one of our interviews talked about it, it's this idea that this grit involves things like the drive, right? And it also requires not just to have a drive, but to have a certain purpose or a certain passion behind what we do. We're going to have more grit if we're passionate about something, if there's a purpose behind it. Paula talked about the legacy, and Paula talked about making a difference in the lives of others. There was purpose behind her grit, you know, 40-year career that she was in. And then the ladies that you interviewed for the Franchise Woman magazine, but there's, you know, the optimism and adaptability and achievement drive and commitment and tenacity and purpose and passion. It's all kind of intertwined into this bigger term that we are calling grit. But to your point, it seems like the successful woman possess that elusive skill above and beyond those that may be struggling.
Well, I think so. And it was an interesting, you know, the issue this month about success, it was kind of a weird topic. Like, mm-hmm. How do you approach success in terms of reporting about it? And so I ended up talking to these women about what they think drives their success. What is it that drives them toward a goal? And the common thread among three, we talked to Laura Spalding of Spalding Decon, we talked to Feedback of Goodbye Graffiti, and I talked to Carolyn Thurston of Wisdom Teeth. They all had this never give up attitude. They all had this failure is not an option. Tell me I can't do it and I'm going to do it. You know, I mean, it's all three of them, and they present very differently personality wise.
Mm-hmm.
but they all had that underlying thing that drove them. I mean, Laura Spalding's was about not having a backup plan, and she doesn't like it when people do, because you've already considered the fact that you might not succeed in this goal. So I think it was really interesting, because I wasn't sure how that topic was going to go over in the magazine, but to have them tell you why they think they're successful, it's such an interesting conversation, because everybody answers it differently, yet the same.
It's the same. It boils down to a handful of factors that no backup plan, burn the boats, you know, keep moving forward, that commitment, that passion, that purpose, the ability to adapt to whatever's going on. Because there's a bump in the road, so what? Mm-hmm. We're going to continue forward. We can adapt to it. We can work around it. And then one marker that I thought was interesting in all the stories that you mentioned is this courage, right? It requires a certain level of courage to take a risk and step out into the unknown, whether it's to invest in your own business as a franchisee or as a franchisor deciding to undertake becoming a franchisor. If you've never done it, that takes a lot of courage to step into that and do what is necessary, even though you have no experience doing that. But you're right. It's that single-mindedness. I will make this work no matter what, which means I have to have these other attributes so I can stay steady Eddie, hang in there through the ups and downs and the twists and turns that any business or any life will take.
I agree completely. And one thing that was crossing my mind when you were talking was that one of the things that they all faced as a challenge, particularly Carolyn and Laura Spalding mentioned it, was funding was difficult for them.
Mm-hmm.
For one reason or another. I mean, women do get less funding than men statistically. It can be a little bit more of a challenge, and I think that's a conversation we could probably delve into in some upcoming shows I think we have planned. But the fact that was a challenge, and they were not going to let it stop them.
Exactly.
They both just, as Laura said, they bootstrapped it, and Carolyn's like, I had to become my own bank, and it didn't matter that was a challenge. And some people would hit that barrier and stop and say, well, oh well, maybe this isn't for me. But they had these challenges and said, well, how am I going to, you know, change my path a little bit to still achieve the goal that I want? So I think that grit it's kind of fun to watch.
It's very fun to watch. I totally agree. And what you described there, this willingness, because there's such great passion, there's such great purpose behind these ideas that these women had, and the willingness to do whatever it took, including do what is counter the feminine nature. The feminine nature is about safety and about security, right? They went counter that nature and said, I got to step out. I got to be courageous. I'm okay. I need to bootstrap. The financing isn't available. That's an immense amount of, A, I know where I'm going and I'm committed to it. And I know ultimately this is going to be successful. I believe in myself enough.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, courageous enough to go counter our nature, which is safe, secure, comfort zone, right? That's kind of where we typically
go
back to, and they didn't. They stepped out.
Yeah, it was a very fun. It was a much more fun issue than I thought, and it was a much more interesting topic than I expected. So I'm really glad that we got to talk to Paula about that as well. So if you're just tuning into Women in the Know, go back and watch Paula Pizarro's interview, because it really gives you a lot of insight into what it takes to climb these ladders of success.
Exactly. Well, Elizabeth, that closes the segment on Women in the Know, and we are now going to another one of our sponsors. So we'll be back after this break.
Pillars of Franchising, broadcasting the secrets of building a successful franchise. Join Ray Pillar and Fred McMurray as they talk to franchisees, franchisors, and the franchise professionals who assist them. Listen live on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on pillarsoffranchising.com. Call in with your questions to Pillars of Franchising at 323-580-5755.
Perfect. Welcome to Ask Beck and Liz. So we talk about all kinds of topics here. In fact, nothing is off limits. We want to answer your questions about business, about life, and everything in between. So if you have a question for Beck and Liz, simply send your question to ask@beckandliz.com. So that's ask@beckandliz.com. And then Liz and I will field that question and we'll do everything possible to answer it in an intelligent way. So this question actually, Elizabeth, is kind of consistent with this idea of success and the need for grit to be successful. So the question is, how does one develop grit? Got any ideas?
Well, I think that is an interesting question. Is do you have it? Is it one of those things you just have or you don't have, or is it something you can get better at? And I think the answer is clearly you can get better at it. But in terms of behavioral science, I know you have markers that define what makes up grit. So in my mind, one of the first things that you would do is identify what those are so you know what you're working for. So why don't you tell us a little bit about those markers?
So there are actually several markers underneath grit. And I only bring that up because some of us could possess one or two of these markers, but not all of these markers. Therefore, we have less grit or more grit. So some of the markers are, of course, passion and purpose. So do you have a passion for what you're doing? Is there a purpose behind, or are you just doing it because you got to pay the mortgage, so to speak? Another one of the markers is a commitment. Are you able to make a commitment no matter what? You're going to follow through with it. Do you have a history of making commitments and no matter what, following through? Another marker is adaptability, because life and business is going to have ups and downs, and the economy is going to affect it. A competition is going to affect your business and your future. Technology is going to affect things. So are you able to adapt? Not in the way of just adapting because you love change, but truly adapting to the circumstances, never getting your eye off of the prize, right? But remaining laser focused, but knowing that even with that, there's going to be some adapting. And then there's two other markers that come underneath sort of that grit, one of which is initiative, which is a form of courage. So initiative and courage kind of go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. The ability to take initiative, make that phone call, go to that meeting, ask that person for a loan, whatever it is, it's that ability to take initiative even when you don't feel confident, even when you don't have the skills yet to be successful. So initiative and this form of courage that goes along with initiative will take you a long way. So all of those kind of bigger markers, achievement, drive, passion and purpose, adaptability, initiative and courage, and commitment all sort of wrap under this bigger kind of grit idea. And some mm-hmm. of us are better at one and some of us are better at others, but we have to have all of them to truly be successful and to have what we call this grittiness to build a business.
Well, and I think each and every one of those is a teachable thing. I think there are things you try to teach your kids as they're coming up. I think that there are things you learn in school as you're being trained. I think there are things that you learn on the job. My dad, even, who was a lawyer, had a plaque on his desk, this brass-plated plaque that said, do what you have to do when you have to do it, whether you like it or not. You
know what I mean? That's initiative, right?
It is. And, you know, in kindergarten, my son had a teacher who would have this little clappy chant thing, and it was, take initiative, you know.
Yeah.
So from kindergarten, she's trying to teach that. But I think that sometimes we get stuck in ruts and don't see a way out. And, you know, taking initiative to ask for help even, or to ask someone who's been there before and knows better than you know. All of those things. And I think when you know what those markers are, you can identify which ones you don't really have to worry about because you've got it. And then you can work on the others. You know, you can talk to people who are better at it than you. You can talk to people about what they've done or how they achieve certain things or how you keep determined. Everybody gets down, you know. Optimism is fluid.
Yeah.
So I think surrounding yourself with people who will help you keep that optimism and believe in you, you know, I mean, so mm-hmm. to me, the first step is identifying what those
right.
are. And the next step is, you know, building them individually.
Yeah, it's so, so true. You know, over the years, I've coached many, many companies and individuals growing their businesses. And we each have these to various degrees. But I remember one franchisee who had incredible tenacity and commitment and focus, had all the markers. But one of the markers he didn't have was adaptability. He was extremely stubborn. And once he had his mind made up that this is the way it should be done, he wouldn't get off of that. So commitment was there, achievement drive there, his purpose was there. All the other markers were there, but he had no adaptability. So what was happening as the years went by, he wasn't paying attention to his competitors, right? He wasn't paying attention to the different things that was going on in the market. So he became less innovative and less flexible over time. So you would think just holding the course would have you be successful. And to some degree, it does. Just doing right, what's right and best every single day, like your dad's sign said. But if you don't have this adaptability marker and you're hit by COVID, or you have a competitor that comes in the market, now it doesn't matter how committed you are, or how driven you are, or how on purpose you are, or how optimistic you are, if you don't have that marker. And I think it's true of all of those particular attributes. We can first recognize, do we have it, you know, and then if we don't, find ways to develop those particular strengths and those particular skills.
Yeah, and I think COVID has definitely highlighted our strengths and weaknesses in all of those areas, because you begin to see what you're willing to do and where you are in the process of all these things, and you're watching other people, and some of them you look at, you think, holy cow, they were just on it so fast. You know, when we interviewed Richard Lavelle and he talked about how quickly they were able to get out home kits for Painting with a Twist. I mean, they adapted very quickly and were able to maintain some level of income, you know, during the worst of the pandemic. So to me, it's fun to see somebody who takes the bull by the horns and kind of just says, all right, we're going to make this work. And
right. And they
forget COVID.
Yeah,
forget COVID. We're not dealing with that.
And they remained optimistic. They remained
right.
focused on their purpose, but they had to adapt just a little bit, which took courage, which took initiative. It was risk-taking, but ultimately will help them grow over time. So grit is a very elusive. I hope, Elizabeth, we can maybe dissect these individual parts in further conversations, because it's a very big topic. And
yeah.
And a determinant whether franchisor or franchisee, even a corporate ladder climber, if they're going to be successful.
Yeah, I think it's very worth talking about in individual markers and kind of delving into what you need to do to improve the areas where you're weak.
Excellent. So that wraps us up today. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today, where passion and purpose collide, profits are made, and relationships are forged. This is Beck and Liz signing off and wishing you another purpose-filled and profitable week.